We're right now. We're towards the bottom or the middle of Daf Yudches Mabez, the very end of the second parak. Just to recap what we talked about last time, we're in the middle of talking about the days of Adar. The days of Adar. We mentioned that the 15th and 14th are the days of Purim, and therefore on Purim, of course, you don't fast and you don't do Hespedim. On the 13th and the 12th, we mentioned are two separate days. One called Yom Nicanor, and one called Yom Turinus. And in those days, also, we mentioned there were happy occasions. We don't know if they were yet, but there were happy occasions that took place during those days as well. And also, they're not to be fasted on or eulogized on. And therefore, we were left with assuming the Gemara had quoted a Brisa that even though, this is how we understood the Gemara, even though, or so we thought, even though the people read Megillah, the people in the villages read Megillah on the 11th, also the Thursday, and they had to wait till Monday and Thursday to read Megillah, they read Megillah on the 11th. They still fasted and eulogized if they had to on that day. The Gemara said, what do you mean? How about that Rabbi Yossi's Shita that the day before, not Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara Paskin, Rabbi Yochanan, who Paskins like the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that the day before the fast days in Megillah's Tainus, you have to treat them also with Kedusha. And here Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, like a Stam Mishnah, we said, and therefore should not have let us read the Megillah on the 11th. So the Gemara says, should not let us fast on the 11th because it's the day before Yom Turinus. Gemara says, no, really Yom Turinus was knocked out. The case was really they read it on the 12th. They read the Megillah on the 12th of the Adar, and they could also fast and eulogize on that day as well. Why? Because Yom Turinus, there was a terrible thing that happened on that day, that Shammai v'Achye, who were brothers, were killed on that day, and therefore the happy occasion of what once was known as Yom Turinus became a sad occasion again with the death, with the murder of Shammai and Achye, and therefore it changed its nature. So that was the Gemara that we got to five lines into the wider lines on Daf Yud Ches and Mud Beis. So the Gemara says, one second, V'tepeglei, even though that day, the 12th of Adar, we said it lost its status as Yom Turinus because of this terrible tragedy that happened. Still, it's the day before Yom Nicanor. And we know the rule is, according to Rabbi Yossi, and that's our Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, according to Rabbi Yossi, the day before an exciting day is treated also in a very exciting way and shouldn't be able to be fasted or eulogized upon. The Tepik Lay, let us learn out again, five lines into the wide lines on Daf Yilches Mabez. Tepik Lay, the Hagalay, Yom Shiluf Nei Nicanor. Shouldn't we still treat it with Kedusha as it was the day before Yom Nicanor? And therefore, it should have the same status, Yom Nicanor, that you shouldn't fast and you shouldn't eulogize. So the Gemara says over here, Amar Rav Ashi, no, Hashta Iu Gufe Badlu, Yom Nicanor Niku Menigzor. In itself, now that we established it, in itself was a special day, and we knocked it out of a special day because a terrible tragedy happened that day, so I'm going to give it a status of specialness because it comes the day before Yom Nicanor. Again, it had its own day that we knocked out. We knocked out its own day because of tragedy that took place. So I'm going to now treat that day with Kedusha because something, it happened before a special day. No, that what happened, the tragedy that happened that day knocks that out obviously as well. And that's the case that the Gemara brings down. They must have the Megillah on the 12th of Adar. And nevertheless, that day they were able to fast and able to eulogize because it was a sad day in the Jewish calendar, the day that Shammai and Achye were, who were his brothers, were killed. Now,
Rav, we've
been talking the whole time about these two special days of Yom Nicanor and Yom Turinus. We have no idea what they are. Yeah, sorry, Aaron, what do you got?
Why can't it be that we're talking about the 11th? Just like the,
it could also have been the 11th, but that meaning the 11th, it would have been the 11th, and it would also have been...
I'm saying because if those two brothers being killed knocked it out, then for sure 2 days after Nicanor we would be good.
That certainly is an option also. It's definitely an option as well. The Gemara says you don't need to say that in the end. You don't have to have made it that case, but that also would have worked. It also would have worked. It's correct. You're correct. Okay. Says we don't want to limit it to that. That's only almost extreme case you can find. It doesn't have to be only that case, but it certainly could be that case as well. Okay, more on over here. My Nicanor or my Turinus. What happened in those days itself? So the time of the Nebraisa, Nicanor echa mi africhei Yevanim haya. He was one of the dukes, one of the governors of the Greeks. ובכל יום ביום הימיניף ידעו על יהודה וירושלים ויומר. Every day, as they were, the Greeks were, you know, attacking and invading the Jewish people, he would wave his hands over the areas of the tribe of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash area and Yerushalayim, and he would say, "V'omer imasai tipol biyadi v'armsena, when will this fall into my hands and I can trample this place?" And he used to wave his hands, describing what would be one day and under his power. Ukshigavra malchus beis chashmonai v'nitzchum, when the chashmonaim beat the Greeks, in the story of the Chagah story, they found this Nicanor. Again, Nicanor also is a personality we know of later on who has another story on earlier on, another story of this famous golden doors. It's not the same Nicanor. If you're Shar Nicanor, it's not this person. It's someone else. This person here was a terrible general, a governor of the Greeks. And after the Jewish people, after the Chashmonaim won the war against the Greeks, so cut the two Baholos Yada Viraglov, they cut off the thumbs and the big toes of this governor. They strung them up and they hung them in the gates of Yerushalayim, which is pretty nasty. They said, "Peshay medaber begaiva," the mouth that spoke so arrogantly about Yerushalayim, the yadayim shayimanifas al Yerushalayim, and the hands that wave their hands so nonchalantly. Taseh ben nekama, Hashem should take vengeance over that person. Okay, that was what Nicanor was. And when that happened, when we were able to defeat them and cut off the hand, the toes and the thumbs of this governor, that was a very happy occasion for justice, for vengeance to this chutzpahdik general. Okay, and that was Nicanor. Yeah, Aaron, what do you got?
Are we into like revenge? I feel like not.
We're into revenge for God's sake, meaning. We're into Hashem taking revenge to put his throne in the proper place. We're not taking revenge on each other. You know, there's an issue that we have for Nekama. But we do describe God as when there's vengeance in the world, that's called justice. There's justice in the world. And when Hashem does that, that's one thing. You know, we want to support justice for Hashem. We're not taking David Melech, for example, didn't take vengeance against Shimon ben Gera, but when he died, his last word before he died was to tell his son, "You take vengeance on Shimon ben Gera." Why? Because there's to be justice in the world. We need to have justice sometimes. So vengeance could also be described as justice. Okay. It's a good question. Back in the Gemara. My Terinus, what about the day of Terinus? The 12th of Adar. What happened on that day? It says the Gemara, Amru, Kishabikesh Terinus, Larogas Lulinus Upapus, Achiv Bilutkia. When Terinus wanted to kill he wanted to kill Lulinus and Papus, who were brothers. And according to Rashi, they were big tzaddikim in Lutkia, which we call today Lud, which is right near the airport. So Amr Lahem, so he said to them, this Terinus said to the brothers, if you come from the same nation of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, who were saved when they were thrown into a fiery pit by Nebuchadnezzar, so then Yavu Elokechem, Yatzil Eschem, Miadi. Let your God come and save you from my hands. Kederach Sheitzil, Chanan Mishael Azariah. The same way that their God, Chanan Mishael Azariah, saved them, Miyad Nebuchadnezzar, from the hands of the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was very cruel to them. And he saved their life. And after doing so, Nebuchadnezzar actually recognized that a God was great. So Amrulo, so these two brothers, Linus and Papus, said to Terinus, he said to them, they were righteous. And they deserved the miracle. Nebuchadnezzar Melech Hagun Haya. Nebuchadnezzar was a fitting king, meaning one who recognized God at the end. And therefore it was fitting that he play a role in the story of Chaim Mishael Azariah. He was part of the process of showing God's greatness in the world. But also Russia, referring to now Terinus, they're saying to him now, but this wicked man, meaning you, Hedjohu, he's a nobody. Vain royal of Nesayado, he doesn't deserve to have a miracle done through his hands. The Anu, and about ourselves as well. Nischaivanu Cleo. Lamakum. Apparently we're Chayv Misa. We should be Chayv Misa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Anatem Horadnu, and if you don't kill us, Harbe Horagim Yeshul Lamakum, Varbe Dubin Varayas Lamakum Bolamo. And if you don't kill us, God has many, Malcolm here is God, God has many ways that he could kill us. He has lions and bears. Yesh l'makom b'olamo. Shepogim aron, they can encounter us and they can kill us. Elo masarnu akash baruch hu biadecha. Rather, Hashem only, Ella, Hashem only put us in your hand. Shasili para damenu miadecha. Because one day you're going to kill us now. And one day Hashem's going to find retribution from you and kill you just because you killed us. So that's your choice you have. God wanted you to be the one to kill us so he can punish you later on for it. Now you think that might at some point in time dissuade this general, the Turinus, from taking action, but didn't work. Al-Pichein Hargun Miyad. He killed them right away. He wasn't threatened or put off by their statements. Amru, but the Misora is Lozazu Misham, that after he killed them, no one moved from there. Achabod Yupli Miromi, until some generals came from Rome. Upatu as Mocho Bigizarin, and they split his head open with sticks, with clubs. Meaning at the end of the day, everyone witnessed these two people getting killed, and then witnessed the person who killed them himself be killed, which was retribution, which is why it was a very special day. A little background, Rashi tells you a very important story here of these two brothers. What they did was, apparently, there was the Harugi Lud, these two Harugi Lud, that Papus and Lulinus were these very special tzaddikim, and they, one of the daughters of the king, the princess, I guess the king of Rome, died, or was killed, I should say, and the people said it was like a blood libel, the Jews did it, and they wanted to kill all the Jews. And these two brothers said, no, we did it. We're the ones who did it. They didn't do it really, but they said they did it so they would spare the rest of the Jews this terrible fate. But at the end, they were killed, and the person who killed them was killed immediately afterwards as a retribution, and that's why it was made into a special day, because God's vengeance in the world was seen immediately. Okay. Yeah, Aaron, what do you got?
Doesn't this uproot their whole thing, meaning like the celebration came after the bad thing?
No, this is not the bad thing. The bad thing was two other brothers that were killed in that day. Right? Remember, the two brothers that we had that were killed in that day were Shammai and Achia. That happened later on. The day was celebrated because Hashem's retribution was felt right away. It was immediate retribution, immediate vengeance. That was something to recognize and to celebrate that point. Even though we lost two big tzaddikim that day, but celebrate the clarity of God in the world at that point in time. And then, separately, something terrible happened the same day later on, and that caused us to kind of nullify this special day.
And when it says that no one moved from there until, like
everyone who saw that execution immediately saw the retribution that happened right afterwards.
All
right. Okay, we're at the two dots towards the bottom of right before the parak ends. In goes on as al sibor b'tchila b'chamish. We said we should not start on a Thursday of starting fast. That'll break the price status up till now. Then it said in goes on tainis rosh chodeshim. We should not make a rosh chodesh or a purim or a chanukah into a fast day. We mentioned. But if they're in the middle of a series of fast days, we don't break it up, we said. What's considered already started? What's considered the middle of? So Rav Acha Amar Shalosh, if there were already three fast days prior to this one hitting, that's considered the middle, and therefore we would have a semi-fast on the day that would come with Rosh Chodesh later on. If it was to continue on, that Rosh Chodesh had fell into the fourth fast day, we would still fast partly that day, says the Mishnah. Rav Asi Amar Achas, even if one had come beforehand, the second one is a Rosh Chodesh, or a Chanuk, or a Purim, we would still continue that partial fast as well. If one had already started the series of seven, the first one had started, we would continue that process. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Zudi Rabbi Meir, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Gamliel. Again, Rabbi Meir is the one who said that we start the fast, we don't see it through the whole night. That's what we mentioned in the Mishnah, again, in the bottom of Tezav Mabez. It said that they would start the fast, but they would not finish the fast off at the end. But that was Rabbi Meir's opinion. However, that we actually fast and finish the fast off, even if it fell on a Purim or on a Chanukah or on a Rosh Chodesh, if it was in a series of fasts and we'd already started the series off, either three of them already, there's the fourth, or one of them already, there's the second one, we would continue and fast from the Chum the whole way through on that day that even was Rosh Chodesh. And Darsh Barzutra Mishmei Ravuna Halacha Misane Umashlam. That's why we pass in the end that we do see the fast to its end. We're not done right now, though. We're not done yet. We've got a little more to do still. Yeah, Gabe, what do you got?
Two things. First, can you explain what was that last part saying? Like, how much is the beginning? Then, like, 1-3, and then we said, like, do you fast or complete? Like, what was that?
We mentioned two separate things. You look at the back for a second. The Tetzavah Mabez, the Mishnah Tetzavah Mabez, let's turn for a minute before we ended off the Mishnah on Tetzavah Mabez. So the Mishnah says the following. It says, "Ein goes." Sorry, not that one. Ein goes with Tiny Talat Tzibor. Four lines from the bottom of the Mishnah on Tetzavah Mabez. Brosh Chadashim, Chanukah Upur. We should not make tiny on those days. But even tchil, but if you started already a series of fasts, ein mafsikin. That's what Gamliel says. Right? Meir says back. So that's part one. So what's considered starting a series of fasts? We said, oh, three of them is starting. The fourth one is this one. That's considered already having started. One says, no, one of them is starting. It's the second one is already considered starting. And then we said, but if you look at the next part of the Mishnah that we read just now on Tetzav Mabez, right? Meir says, even though he said you don't break the fast up, you don't finish the fast in those days. You start it and you end up before nightfall. So regarding that, the Chum say that's right, Mayor's opinion. We don't agree. The possibly right Mayor that if you started a series of fasts already, and one fell on Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah or Purim, you would see it to its end, and that's how the Gemara says we pass them as well.
How could you say that three fasts it hasn't started yet?
What was three fasts already. So the fourth one is it start? The fourth one is
why not after the first?
My guess is that we have like these series of like seven fasts with like a nice unit of time. We said a seven fast series. So maybe the reason why is because then you have more than halfway. This is the halfway point, maybe.
Don't you have the Monday, Thursday, Monday?
Yes, that's when it comes to the three series of three.
Oh, so it's just saying continuing in the
series. You're right. The series of seven now in the deeper fasts as we get more intense. Exactly.
So maybe it's similar to that. How three you have three, and then you need in order for it to be a full complete set again. To keep going, then you need three.
Saying three represents a significant amount already, yeah. And therefore, yeah. It could be. Okay.
And then also, Rebbe.
Yeah.
Oh, I just missed it when you said, what was the reason that the Romans ended up killing him?
The Gemara doesn't say the reason that was like retribution. We didn't explain it. They came, they whacked him, they killed him, they left. The Gemara didn't say why they killed him. Oh, wait, they killed who? Killed the general or killed the Jewish people?
No, the general.
Yeah, the Gemara didn't say. That was the point, is ultimate clarity, retribution of God, because right after they did what he did that to them, they immediately he was killed. Okay. We're starting now the next part. We'll just do the Mishnah, the part of the Mishnah right now. And then we'll, don't forget, guys, we have to do Chazaras over Shabbos. That's our goal. We do Chazaras over Shabbos. I'm talking to myself also. Okay. Seder of Tainios Elu. When we had the whole discussion of the Seder of Tainios, which means you go from three of the Yechidim fast three times, and we have the Tzibur fast three, and then they fast three more, and they fast seven. That's all Ha'amor B'Revi'a Rishona. That's when you had this whole discussion where rain wasn't falling in the Revi'a Rishona, the first set that was supposed to be where rainfall comes. That's when we had this whole fast set of three for Yechidim, and then three for Tzibor, and three more for Tzibor, and then seven for Tzibor. That's for the rainfall that wasn't coming in that first rainfall time period. Avat Smachim Sheshanu. But if you had other calamities, other catastrophes, like for example, crops that are growing, they're growing Shanu, they're growing in a strange way, meaning they're not growing with the grain, they're growing like empty. Then Masri and Alei Miyad, we immediately cry out to Hashem. We don't go again. The crying out to Hashem means we pull one of these later stage fasts, one of these seven states, the final stage of seven fasts in a row. We get to that level right away. We don't build up to it. We go right to that level. The Chay Kishapasku Geshamim Ben Geshem LeGeshem Arba Yom. We have a gap of rainfall from one to the next rainfall from the first series to the second series for more than 40 days. And that's a terrible sign. Masri and Alein. Again, we cry out immediately. We don't do a whole set of 3, 3, 3, 7. We go straight to the 7. Neshi Makas Betzoris, the sign.
Why doesn't it say Miyad?
What's that?
Why wouldn't it say Miyad there?
Why wouldn't it say Miyad there? It does, actually. According to the Girsa I have over here, there's another Girsa. See this little Hay in our Gemara? Do you have that little Hay in our Gemara? You have that? Yeah. So there's a Girsa change. It says add the word Miyad in. Gabe, like he wrote that. Maybe you wrote that little gears of change. Kol kavod. Okay, because it's Makas Betzoris, the sign of a famine coming our way. Yardul Tzmachim Avalo, Yardul Ilan. If it fell for the vegetables, but the plants, but not for the trees. Or Ilan Velo Tzmachim, or vice versa. If the rainfall was helping the plant, the trees, but not the plants. Lazev, Lazev, or help both of them Avalo, Leboros, Lashichin, Laros. Didn't help the water pits or the ditches. Or the ma'aros, or the caves, meaning what there wasn't a storage of water that was coming. So meaning it wasn't a full water that would help everyone in the right way. Masrina le'en miyad, back to Gaz miyad, we immediately jump into our final intensity of fasting that usually was built up to normally, it was built up to after 3, 3, 3, and 7, went boom, right into this level of fast immediately. V'chein ir, shlo yardu aleh gishamim. If you had a city where there was no rainfall on that city, the chesed that says in the pasuk describes in Amos, in tarti al ir achas, al ir achas lo imtir. That I will have my rainfall. We quoted this idea, the pasuk earlier as well. You can have rainfalls that were splotted in different places, got rain, different places didn't get rain. But I will bring my rain to one city, but the other city I will not bring rain. Chelka achas lo imtir. What's that?
No, say it was that. Was that the part where we're saying like it even rained like on certain parts of the field?
Exactly. Exactly. This idea that it's considered already a klala, it could be a klala to have only parts of the field rain on not other parts, even within the same persons, right? So you have here again a person. You have certain parts chelka achas. One section it was rained, and one section it was not rained. So the gomer. So the gomer. What the hell happens in that case? It says top of daf yud desman aleph. Also a year misana umisras. That city that was deprived of rainfall, you do fast, tightness, and you do trua, you do scream out to Hashem or blow shofar. Its surrounding cities, you only fast, you do not blow shofar. Rabbi Akiva says the opposite. Masrios, you only blow shofar, but Masrios, you don't fast. Now, why would the surrounding cities, you know, have to react at all? They seem to be blessed over here. They have rainfall. So Rashi is one shot, which is, what's going to happen is that the neighboring city needs food. It's going to come to your city and buy the store out. Then no one has no, even your city won't have anything either. Meaning your produce has been chewed up and there's no food left for anyone anymore. So therefore, you know, you have to also realize that you're also in danger. So that's why you should do partially, not the same level, but a partial level of crying out to Hashem as well. Okay. And similarly, the chain, ir sheyesh ba dever, oma polis. If you have a city that has pestilence, meaning there's a death is falling the city. Or my polis, where it's like a Rashi explains. It's like a caving in, like an earthquake, and things collapse, or somewhere that where the ground kind of gives way and buildings are collapsing. So again, osa ir misana umisras, that city has to fast and cry out like with trua. The chol siyoseh misanos lo misrios, and the surrounding cities again, they have to be nervous. You know, it's close to home over here, and therefore they misanos, they fast, but they don't blow shofar or they don't cry out. Rabbi Akiva Omer, the opposite, misrios lo misanos. Okay. What's considered a plague of pestilence that demands a fast? Ezu dever. So ir hamotziah chamesh meos ragli, a city that has 500, you know, people walking around in it, meaning a healthy group of 500 healthy people. The yatsu mimena gimel mesim, the gimel yamim zeachar zeh. But over the course of three straight days, there are three people each day at least that died in that day that were healthy people beforehand. That would be considered, even though the gears over here takes us out. That's considered pestilence. Pachos mikan ain't a dever. Less than three consecutive people on three consecutive days, or three people on three consecutive days at least, that would not be considered pestilence. That is fast worthy. Yeah, Gabe, what do you got?
Why does it matter how many people are in the city?
Because the percentage-wise, if you, let's say you had a million people in the city, three people dying is not a crazy rate. Like
when,
you
know, nine out of
the five. The ratio of how many people died per this size city.
So it's got to be that or less?
It's got to be, good question. I would think it's got to be a ratio where, yeah.
So if it was 1,000, it would be 6 through 3 days?
Good
or
question.
6 through 6
That's an excellent
days,
question.
Or? Yeah, I was thinking that.
That's what I would guess. But I'm not positive. That would make sense to me. I don't see anyone here who says that, what I just said. Anyone have the article there? Want to tell me if I'm right? Or not?
Proc when you need them.
Yeah.
What's the specific question, Rob?
The question is, when 500 people in the city and three died.
Talk about that. I'm looking at the moment to see whether or not it talks about increased numbers, because you're talking about going from 500 to 1,000, et cetera, and see if it changes.
Yeah, that's a question.
Logically, it tells you it's a percentage.
That's what I was thinking. You know, actually, over here is a source. The quotes the Rambam over here. The Rambam quotes the Halacha. Look up here right now. The Rambam is Halacha. One second. That was tightness. One second. Hold on.
The Rambam thing it says here is an earthquake that collapses buildings and kills people.
Right. That's one of them. That's Beis. But Gimel, there's also Gimel there. That's all you have there?
Here, Avi, one of the footnotes, Rabbi, one of the footnotes says, right after a discussion of the 500 people, the footnote in our scroll says this city has a population of at least 500. So that would suggest.
I was in the. Let's read it to you in Siren now. It says this. It says Al-Dever. Al-Dever says the Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Tainus Halacha A. Ezehu Dever, Ir Sheech Bachamech Rios Ragli, Vyatsu Menashosh Mason Mishosh Yam Zerchazer, Ariz a Dever. That's what we said before. It goes on, Yatsu Biyom Echar O Barba Yamim Ez a Dever. If it all, if it happened over 4 days, oh, here, look, Hayuba Elif. Ram says, Vyatsu Menashish Mason. We were right. It's a ratio. This is the ratio.
Within the same amount of days?
Same 3 days, boom, boom, boom. It's got to be like that. That's how you know it's Dever. So it's a ratio of 3 to 500. 6 to 1,000.
Meaning nicely done, Gabe.
0.6% of your population basically is going to die consecutively 3 straight days of what the original population was. Okay. Back in the Mishnah. Very good game. Excellent. Al Elu Masriyan B'chol Malkum. On these following
and Daniel,
people.
And Daniel. Yeah.
What's that?
And Daniel. There's also Daniel.
Very good, Daniel. Excellent. Excellent. Daniel has plenty of shout outs. He doesn't need to be revealed. You know, he'll have his moment in the sun. He got plenty of shout outs. Okay. Al Elu Masriyan B'chol Malkum. How about you, Aaron? You've been a little shout out slowed recently. Dad, you don't need shout-outs because you're already married. You don't need shout-outs. For these guys, we're shiduchim. Baruch Hashem. Anyways, al-elu masriyin b'chol makom. On these following cases, you cry out no matter where the event took place. We'll see why very soon. Wherever, no matter where in the world, you cry out for the following things. Al-shidafon, which is like a windstorm that ruins the grain. Al-yirakon, which is an illness. It's a disease. V'ala arbe, v'ala chasiel, which is different types of locusts. V'ala chayera, a wild beasts roaming around. V'ala cherev, or soldiers with a sword coming near you, coming by your city, walking through your city. All these things, masrin alea, neshehi maka m'haleches. You cry out because it's a maka m'haleches. It's a moving, it's a traveling maka, meaning it doesn't stay local, it's traveling, and therefore you may be next. Be very careful. We had this happen recently. I'm not being political here. It happened recently with with people protesting different areas for different causes. You had some people came out of their house and wanted to fend off the mahaleches, the protest mahaleches. It was walking by and they wanted to protect themselves because when someone's walking around, you could be next. You gotta be careful. You gotta know it's coming your way potentially. So everyone, even if it's not in your area, it could come to you soon. And that's why we should cry out even before it gets to us. Maisa Shiyard Zakanam the Mushalayim Larayam the Gazru Tainus Al Shanira Kimale Pitanur Shidafon Bashwan. It was a story that there was some Zakanim leaving Yerushalayim back to their cities, and they declared the decree of Tainus because they saw the size of the opening of an oven, meaning it was a fairly large size of a Shidafon of this windstorm that destroyed these crops to be a fairly large size. In Ashkelon, they said Ashkelon now, but we could be next. Everyone's got to fast. And furthermore, Gozer Titanus Al Sha'achlu Ze'evim Shneiti Nokos Be'er Yard. These same Chachamim, Zakanim that left Yerushalayim, they declared a fast when they saw two wolves tear apart two children, two babies on the other side of the Yarden River, Jordan River. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Al Sha'achlu El Al Shaniru. Not because they saw them, they didn't see them kill anybody, these wolves. But they saw wolves roaming around. That was why they declared this fast. You don't actually see anyone be killed, depends on Rabbi Yossi. Just the fact that they're roaming around now is reason is cause of concern, and that's just a matter of time until it ends up, God forbid, turning into who knows what, into someone being killed. Okay, back in the Mishnah, Al Elu Masriyin B'Shabbos. This is all during the weekday, Monday, Thursday, Mondays. But here we're going to say even on Shabbos there are certain things that you should cry out for. Even though Shabbos normally we say Shabbos in Mizuk. We don't usually cry out on Shabbos, but some things you do cry out for. Like what? Al-ir sheki fuwa nachrim onar. We had this actually earlier on as well, if you remember this. We had this more earlier on. Val-sfina ha-mitarefes b'yam. If you have a city that's surrounded by attackers, by the non-Jews attacking, or is a flood, a nar, a river is overflowed and is coming to your city. Or a-sfina ha-mitarefes b'yam, if you have a boat that is drowning, and people are aware of this happening. My father asked me last time, how do you have a boat on Shabbos? Or someone asked me last time. We did this before, if you remember. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi said, so all these things you can cry out on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, La'azarav lo'litzaka. You can only cry out and say, help me, help me. But you can't cry out to Hashem. It's not, you don't cry, you don't scream on Shabbos to Hashem. You scream to people helping you, call 911, that you can do. But not to Akash Baruch Hu. Shimon HaTimani Omer Af Al Dever. He said, even for pestilence, we said before, this whole thing of Dever, or three people for 500 that are dying three consecutive days, that you can cry out also on Shabbos for. Lahod Lucham, the Chum did not agree with them. They said, you cannot cry out for that on Shabbos. Okay, back to a very, very famous story we have right now, and a famous personality. Yagi, what do you got?
Wait, why can't you dive into Hashem to save you, like, on Shabbos?
Why can't you cry out saving on Shabbos for what?
For, like, the boat.
You can cry out, but you can't cry out to Hashem. You cry out to someone to save you.
Why can't you cry out to Hashem?
Because we don't on Shabbos in general, we do not, we don't daven. We daven. We don't daven, right, for we try to be besimcha on Shabbos. We try. Okay. Al kol tzara shlo tavo al tzibur masrin aleihem, chutz mirov gishamim. On every calamity, every challenge that we face as a tzibur, that should not come on the tzibur, which means that we face as a tzibur, we cry out to Hashem for, except for rov gishamim, except for having too much rain. It doesn't mean flooding, God forbid, that's dangerous to your life. It means too much rain. It means it's annoying. You know, it's muddy, it's flooding, but it's not, like, dangerous. That's just annoying. So there you don't cry out to Hashem for. But besides that, you cry out for every other struggle that comes away. We do masri, and we blow a shofar, or we cry out and say anenu, we fast for, whatever it is, we cry out. Sha'amru lo, Maisa, a story. Sha'amru lo choni amagel. I never heard choni amagel, but it's a famous personality. And this is how he got famous. We're going to learn how he got, this is why it's called choni amagel. Choni, the circle drawer. What happened? Hispalo shamul choni magol. They told choni magol hispalo shiardi gushamim. Daven that the gushamim should come. Amar lahem. He said to them, "Seu vichnisu tanure psachim b'shul shlo yimoku." He said to them, "You got it. Not only you got it, but I'm so confident that you're going to end up getting rain right away." He said, go out and bring in your Pesach ovens in order so it doesn't get ruined, doesn't melt, doesn't get ruined. Then he spalel the lo yardu shalom. He davened, he said, I'm so confident, you can take your stuff in right now. And the rain didn't come. Ma'asa, what did he do? Ad uga. He drew a circle. V'amar v'soch, and he stood in a circle. V'amar the fun of him. He said in front of a God's bracha, you want to show him. Master of the world. Banecha. Samu pneim alai. The your children have placed their faces at me. They have come to me. They've come to me to daven. Shanika ben bayis benecha, because I'm a member of your household. Because bracha. Nishvani b'shemach b'shimcha gadol. I promise. I swear by your name, God. She'ini zaz mikan ad shetarachem abanecha, that I will not move from this circle I just drew. Choni hamagel. He's a circle drawer. Will not move from the circle I just drew until you have mercy on your sons. Bring rain. So it started to drizzle. Amar lokach shalti. I didn't ask for a drizzle. I asked for rain that will fill the water pits and the ditches and the caves. So it started to pour with fury, with very stormy. Amar lokach shalti. I didn't ask for that either. I asked for rain of want, of generosity, of blessing. And then finally, Yardu Kitiknan. And it rained appropriately. Ach Yatsu Yisrael, me Yushalayim, Har Bayis, Negesham. They had to actually leave Yushalayim. It was so rainy. They had to go to Har Bayis, the top of Yushalayim, because the waters were rushing down to Yushalayim. They had to go up to the top part, the Har Bayis area, that results in the rain. Bo v'amru. So now they came to Choni and said, Amru lo kishem shispala lalta aleim shiardu kach hispala shal yelchlehen. It was like you daven that the water, the rain should come. Now daven that the rain should stop. Amru lo said back then, tzuru im namchis even hatoan. He says, go out and see if the even hatoan, which according to Rashi is like a lost and found stone. It was like a stone where everyone knew you would come if you lost an object, or they would keep lost objects there, and you would claim them. Has it been erased? Has it been, you know, been covered up? Meaning, how bad is the water? If it hasn't been covered to that extent yet, I'm not going to stop, you know, asking for rainfall yet. Finally, Shalach lo Shem Meshetach, Shem Meshetach sent a message to Choni Amagel. Il Mali Choni Ata. If you were not this special tzaddik, Choni Amagel, goes, Rani Alecha, I would have decreed upon you Nidui, or excommunicated you for the way you behaved, meaning you such confidence, you talk to God the way you talked to him, like, you know, like with such chutzpah, I would have excommunicated you. About my Aselcha, what could I do? Shata mischatei v'nei amakob, you're sinning. You know, you're inappropriately behaving in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he still does what you want. Like a child, like myself to my dad. I was wrong to my father many times in the past, let's say. And still he did what I wanted to do. He still was so kind and caring and generous to me sometimes. Sometimes. Anyways, V'alecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about you, he says, Techoni Amagel, it says, Yismach Avicha V'Imecha V'Sagel Yaldatecha, that your father and your mother are rejoice over you and are happy for your youth. Okay. We'll stop over here. And we'll continue to learn it next time. We're on pace still, Baruch Hashem, to finish a few days before Tisha B'Av. We're on pace. I'm keeping track of it. So keep it up. Chazara. Have a great Shabbos. And we'll speak to you boys soon. It's Hashem.
Rabbi, I have a question.